Hi, this is Matt Maser, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 415th episode of the IVNV podcast. The second half of the season is underway, and the Cubs started out with a series win over the Rangers. They started things off strong. We're going to talk about that series and more on this episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Before we get started, if you're in the Quad Cities or surrounding areas, if you're listening to this episode on Monday, then tonight, that's Monday night, KD Day is playing at Day Trotter. So if you're around, come and hang out with other Cubs fans and support Katie. She's also playing our tailgate with Danny Rocket on Saturday in Milwaukee. That thing's only a week away. I'm so excited about it. I'm stressed out about it, but I'm also very excited about it.
It's going to be fun.
It is. All of the tickets are sold for the Milwaukee tailgate. And if you bought tailgate tickets and you did not get the informational email, first check your email because you probably have it. And if you don't have it there, then reach out to me and I will get you all the information that you need. If you're in the Quad Cities, Monday night, KD Day will be there. And should be fun. And you know, this, like, I saw that the band start at 7 and the Cubs game starts at 6, so Andy, we should try to find a place to hang out downtown Davenport and watch an hour of the Cubs game before we head over.
That sounds great.
But you know, I'm an out of towner, so I don't really know downtown Davenport that well.
Well, Beth and I have a place in mind, but
okay,
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I went to a really cool, like, I think it's a newer bar down there, like, with a lot of good craft brews, but I don't think that they had TVs in there, so.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking, and I couldn't remember whether or not they had TVs or not.
I think seeing any.
I think they maybe had one or none.
Yeah.
I think they had one or fewer TVs. Good podcast so far. Where should we go to watch the Cubs game on Monday? Everybody listening. It's riveting.
We'll figure it out. Maybe for the local folks, we'll share where we are. So if people want to hang out before the KD Day show, there's a place to go. I also wanted to take a second to talk about our weekend at the lake. If you're a new listener, every year we host a party here at our place, a weekend long party. In the past, the first few years, we had maybe 10 or 15 people come. Last year, Stuart from St. Louis drove up, and so it was us three, Stuart and Michael from Galesburg. But this year, it's going to be pretty crazy. Actually, I think Tad came the second day too, so I should. Yeah, they did. This year, I think it's going to be pretty crazy. On the Facebook event, 22 people are coming, and that doesn't necessarily include friends and spouses. And I know some local people and friends that are coming that haven't RSVP'd for it. So I think it could be a pretty big group. About 70 people have marked themselves as interested. And this thing is, 4 weeks away, a month away? So do you guys want to kind of describe what this weekend is for any new listeners that maybe haven't heard about it?
Go ahead, Kurt. Take it away.
I was just going to say, go ahead, Andy. It's just a lot of mostly outdoor fun, camping, fire, drink a fair amount. We don't get too rowdy because we're getting old. But, you know, if you like to drink some beer, hang out. We'll go to Duffy's, watch the game, which is an amazing place to see the Cubs baseball game with a bunch of fans and friends. You could do some fishing, anything you want to do out on the lake. Camp out, tell stories, Cubs stories, non-Cubs stories, whatever you want. It'll be a lot of fun.
Kurt and I popped each other's mitts
in
a couple of years, and Corey.
And then hopefully we'll head over to Michael's at some point and play a little wiffle ball too.
Yeah, I think the plan is to do that Saturday before we go to Duffy's. And also, I picked up some fireworks when I was in Indiana. Ooh. So we will have some fireworks over the lake.
Maybe. So yeah, you'll see Corey shooting off fireworks and nervous Kurt standing by like a 12-year-old scared.
I think that should be
in a fire blanket.
I think that's the new hashtag. Forget where's Bert. I think nervous. Yeah. I like nervous Kurt.
Or nervous Bert, whichever
nervous Bert. You want.
And that weekend, so I suppose we should share the date. I think it's like August 12th, the weekend of August 12th. But also that is the Perseid meteor showers, which we, Andy, you and I have watched that meteor shower out here before, and it is amazing. It is incredible. So I'm hoping for clear skies and
you know. Yeah, if you don't get out in the country very much, I mean, this is a great place to see the sky. take a look up and see the sky.
Which sounds absurd, but when you see it, it literally is. It's jaw-dropping. It really is.
That's hilarious. Like, that's how we sell it now. Well, if you want to see the sky, you should come hang out. So yeah, we'd love
to watch the International Space Station fly by a couple times.
Yeah, you can watch that go over. It's a lot of fun. So we'd love to hang out with you, get to know you better. And you know, I love things like this because I feel like those of you that are listening, you get to know us every episode, twice a week you hear us, you get to know our personalities, and these events and all the stuff that we do, the meetups and everything, like, this is our opportunity to get to know you better. And so, yeah, we'd like to get to know you better. So come hang out with us. So go to ivmv.com/lake to RSVP. So we kind of have an idea of what to plan for. Oh, I didn't tell you guys. I got the porta potty situation figured out.
Oh, nice.
What I did
was... Is it a real porta potty or did you make it yourself?
No, neither.
cool.
I found it's like a little pop-up tent that is kind of like for porta potty / showering purposes. And
camping.
Right. And then I purchased the official name of it is the Luggable Loo.
This is going to be shared by all 30 people.
Well, I'm working on that. I might get two.
So a men's and a women's.
So anyway, no, but you know what, guys, you know, there's plenty of nature to relieve yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not too worried about it. So the Luggable Loo will be there.
for emergency only.
But yeah, so that's... instead of renting a porta potty, which I couldn't really figure out how the truck was going to get back to that area. So that's what kind of kept me from doing that. But anyway, one more thing here before we get into Cubs talk. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I've used SeatGeek several times this season to buy tickets and just watch ticket prices on games that I'm interested in. And it's also a great service if you want to sell your tickets. I've got a couple of tickets I might be selling, and if I do, I'm going to put them on SeatGeek. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all of the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. SeatGeek does all the work, and they save you time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do to get your $20. Download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy, that's IVY in all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy today. So it was nice. I thought it was really good to see the Cubs start the second half of the season strong. And on our last episode, I said that I was really hoping to see that happen, especially considering that the start of the second half was against two good teams that could be in the playoffs, probably will be in the playoffs, the Rangers and the Mets. we're going to get into this series, but I think when looking at this series, I think we kind of have to start the conversation talking about Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to just label Kyle the best number five in baseball. In fact, he's probably better than most number twos at this point. With the win on Friday, he went to 8-6, which, you know, wins and losses aren't the best way to measure how well he's pitching. His ERA is now down to 2.41, which at the time, at the end of that game, he was third in all baseball. He's now bumped to fourth because DeGrom had a pretty incredible outing today. So those ahead of him are now Kershaw, Bumgarner, and DeGrom. And then Kyle's number four in ERA. So kind of amazing to have your number five starter lead the staff in ERA and also be fourth in baseball with those guys ahead of him. His FIP's a little higher, but that's not super surprising given that he's a contact ground ball pitcher. He needs his defense to prevent runs. I mean, that's kind of his game. So that's up to 3.47, which is still quite good given the high contact that he gets.
And him being a number five starter.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's still top 20 in baseball. So, you know, nothing to complain about there. He's gone at least five innings in all of his 17 starts. And you can kind of look back through the game logs and see there was a couple incidents where he had only given up maybe two or three hits. Remember, he had to get pulled early because of a scoring opportunity offensively. So Madden pulled him out, even though he was pitching incredibly well. I think he's had one or two of those this year, so he could have gone deeper, but, you know, to go five in every start, that's pretty good. He's never given up more than four earned runs in a start. So he's kind of doing what he has been doing, but I think maybe a little more consistently. His changeup's been fantastic. Just the sinker change combination has been enough to keep guys off balance, and doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, but they come when a guy's not really seeing the changeup well. And then, you know, if he is, he throws the sinker and gets a ground ball. So that's kind of been his game this year. And so, you know, looking back at the win-loss 8-6, he could have easily be, you know, probably 10-4 or 11-3 because in four of his six losses, the Cubs have scored two or fewer runs. So he hasn't got a ton of run support, but has just been fantastic for a number five.
But boy, he sure has gotten, like you said, he's gotten some great support from the defense. I mean, in Friday's game, the Cubs defense was incredible. And, you know, especially Almora is worth talking about his defense in the series. In Friday's game, he had that diving catch in the gap. Yeah. He ended the game. He caught the last out. Over his shoulder in center field. In today's game, he crashed into the left center field wall to make a catch. So, yeah, we've seen some guys, you know, willing to run through walls to try to get outs for the Cubs. And Almora seems extra special.
Yeah, I tweeted on Friday that there is basically no right center gap with Almora and Hayward in the outfield. I'm not sure, you know, it'd have to be really shallow or really deep at the wall in the gap for anything to land.
Yeah. Oh, and one other good point from Kerry in the chat is that he's not arbitration eligible until 2018.
Yeah.
So he's got some control left, you know, which is good to have as he comes into being a top starter.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys read it, but I would point anybody or everyone to read. Evan Altman wrote a good piece on Hendricks in Cubs Insider, and I'm going to kind of steal some of the information that he shares in there and then some of the thoughts that I had, too, on Hendricks. But Evan pointed out that he doesn't have great strikeout or walk rates. And kind of what his strategy is, like you said, Kurt, he just works outside of the zone. He gets a lot of strikeouts that way. And he also induces a lot of weak contact. He leads all of baseball all in weak contact, 26.5% weak contact. And he is second lowest in baseball in hard contact. So I think when he's on, he's very frustrating to opposing hitters because he doesn't really give them anything that they can square up on. But I think that when he's off and when his location is off, I think that's when we're going to see Kyle Hendricks kind of get crushed, which I think we've seen, you know, I think that a lot of us expected Hendricks to kind of have a coming out year, and it looks like that's what we're seeing. And it's really exciting to watch just because with all of the big names on the team and all the big names in the rotation, it's neat to see him really kind of like making a name for himself. And it's fun to, I enjoy watching a pitcher work the way that he does, that he's not going to blow anybody away with like his, what, 90 mile an hour fastball. maybe he can touch 92. I don't know. I haven't looked at his velocity or anything, but he's not going to blow anybody away, but he's just a smart pitcher and he just induces a lot of weak contact and just doesn't give hitters really anything worth hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at 89.6 average. So yeah. He probably gets to 92 when he really
when he reaches back.
Yep.
Yeah. So kind of staying on Hendricks for a second, that game on Friday, did you guys notice the troll job that the Cubs either I don't know whether or not they did it on purpose, but did you notice what they did against the Rangers?
I didn't. What was it?
You texted us that, and I looked back through their tweets, and I didn't see what you were talking about.
So okay, Dempster sang the stretch, right? Harry Carey sang the stretch, right? And I think he threw out the first pitch. So you'll remember that the Cubs traded Dempster to the Rangers. So in this game, Hendricks got the start, who came over in the Dempster trade. Carl Edwards Jr. relieved him, who they got, from the Rangers. And then Justin Grimm got the save. And all of those guys, you know, everybody was brought in from the Rangers, either through Dempster or Garza. And so I just kind of wondered, like, especially with them having Dempster out there too. I don't know. Maybe it was an inadvertent trolling, but the fact that they used Hendricks, Edwards Jr. and Justin Grimm, I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I reaching?
I thought you meant Twitter trolling.
No.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
I think they were talking about that on the broadcast a little bit too. And by the way, Grimm just finished the game because they were up 6-0, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, but I said he got the save. Yeah, you're right. He didn't. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that JD said something like if they really wanted to troll them, they should have put Spencer Patton in there at some point too, because he pitched for the Rangers last season also. So, I mean, maybe like that would have been too obvious.
Well, they mixed in Travis Wood, you know, just to hide it a little bit. any overall thoughts or thoughts on this series overall? I'll just say that I the Cubs faced a team that is likely headed to the playoffs and they're leading their division. The Cubs faced the top three pitchers in the Rangers rotation, and the Cubs started their bottom three of the rotation, and they still managed to win the division or win the series. And after the last 3 or 4 weeks of Cubs baseball, it's kind of nice to see them winning in that. You know, it's nice to see them. I'm trying to figure out how I want to word this. You know, I think as a baseball team, you want to see them beat the teams that they should, you know, and then do well against the teams that are kind of evenly matched. And I kind of felt like that's what we saw in this series. We saw them do pretty well against a team that they were evenly matched, and the Rangers actually kind of had the advantage with some of the pitching matchups.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, the first half, Hamill looked like he was back on Saturday. Speaking of the pitching,
well, you know why?
Yeah, because of potato chips.
Because he said his PCP, his potato chip prescription.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said that in the press conference.
So, if for anybody who hasn't heard about this, Hamill had to leave his last start because of cramping in his right hand. And the team doctor prescribed potato chips because they have a lot.
Picture of him holding up which brand.
Yeah, right. Because according to Hamill, they have a lot of potassium and sea salt and help retain water. So he said, I focused on that over the break and ate a lot of potato chips, and I think it turned out pretty well. So, but I was surprised. I mean, I wanted to make a Munenori Kawasaki joke, you know, with the monkeys don't cramp. Right. So he went with a different route than the Kawasaki method.
Yeah, he decided to let the bananas go and went for a different. I'll tell you what, if I had to pick a source for potassium, I'm going potato chips.
Oh, you're right, you're not going bananas.
No,
I'm with you. I mean, I like bananas,
but not going bananas, going chips. Yeah, I'm right there with him. But yeah, he looked good. I mean, he pitched 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. And in fact, he probably could have gone 7, but he was lifted because they had an opportunity to tack on or get a little insurance. And actually turned out to be a great move because I believe Caesar drove in a run in his pinch hit appearance for Hamill. So that was cool. That was cool to see. And just along the lines of pitching too, the bullpen was awesome in this series. They were really good.
Yeah.
And I wanted to point out, and I know you've pointed out too on Twitter, Corey, that Carl Edwards Jr. has been great lately. He's pitched a clean inning in each of his last 3 appearances and has looked really sharp doing it. He has only pitched 11.2 innings for the Cubs, and he has 14 strikeouts against only 3 walks in those innings.
Yeah, I would say his stuff, he looks really sharp. I mean, the ball just like, it almost looks like it accelerates out of his hand, you know? I know that, there's no such thing as like a rising fastball, but it seems like he's close to that. His stuff is electric.
Yeah, and we saw him in spring training, and that's a good word for it. I mean, just watching him up close from behind home plate, it just had an electricity to it that just stood out among all the other pitchers we saw. So that was cool to see. You know, Strope, Wood, and Grimm had clean outings on Friday. And that's great to see for Grimm. Like, I hope Grimm can get a little roll and a little momentum going here and really have a great second half because it's been really rough for him first half. And then, you know, on Saturday there were scoreless outings from Warren, Wood, and Rondon who got the save. So that was good to see too. And then today, hey, you know what? Clayton Richard looked pretty good today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a perfect spot for him to go out, maybe boost a little confidence with fairly low leverage. You're down by what, 2 or 3? They were down by 3 then, and you know, try to build up something.
Well, I just think it's important for like individual relievers to have these good showings, and then I think it's just really important for the bullpen to kind of stabilize itself after kind of a topsy turvy couple of weeks there. And I think that there will be turnover in the bullpen with the bullpen. But the more these guys can right the ship, the better. So it was obviously really good to see. And you know, bullpens get worn out. And I think having – and with none of them going to the All-Star game, I think that it was probably good for these guys to get a good amount of rest. And hopefully they can continue this performance into the series against the Mets.
Yeah, you know what's interesting also about this series is the Cubs 1-2 out of 3 without hitting any home runs.
I guess I hadn't realized.
Yeah, I didn't notice. Yeah.
The wind was blowing in, I think, on the first 2 games. And oddly enough, today it was blowing out. But it all kind of started with that 5-run 6th inning on Friday. In that inning, Bryant had a single. Rizzo hit a double. Contreras walked. Russell hit a single. Caesar hit a single. Zobrist walked. I mean, they batted around, and then Bryant finally came up to bat again, and he flew out to end the inning. But they scored 5 runs in the 6th. And I thought that was a great way to get the second half going, right. You know, and they,
well, that kind of felt like April and May, didn't it? That inning just kind of had that same feel where it was like, oh, okay, this is the Cubs that we saw early in the season. And it, I think that it calmed me a lot to see that here in the first game of the second half of the season and to have them look like the Cubs that I really enjoyed watching early in the season.
Well, and that also, and that I think the same is true for the Saturday game, not in the run scoring, but in the approach against a elite starter. I mean, right. Darvish has been out, and this was his first game back, but he was really good at the beginning. I don't think they got a hit in the first couple innings, and they were doing their rack up the pitch count thing because they knew going in Darvish was going to be on some sort of a pitch count.
Right.
And so the game plan worked, and, you know, they waited him out, and, you know, by the, I don't know, whether they scored a couple in the third.
Right, he didn't quite make 5.
Yeah. So it was nice to see that, too, where they won a close game against a really good starter by doing the sort of wait-and-see approach because, yeah, Darvish early looked really good.
So wait, Kurt, are you saying that the Cubs can drive up a pitch count without Dexter Fowler being in there?
I think they can, but I think it helps to have him. That's what you're getting at.
Oh, boy. She was.
I'm going to come across as like a Dexter Fowler hater, which is not true at all. <You are. laughs> Not true at all.
Too late. Yep. He hates Dexter. We don't understand it. No. Faithful listeners, Corey doesn't like Dexter.
Not true.
He loves him some Javi, but not Dexter.
That is true, but no, yeah. I don't. But no, I mean, that's something that felt like it was kind of missing, and I think that there's different reasons for that, I think. And I think if you just look at some of the obvious reasons that maybe the Cubs hadn't been taking so many pitches is that they were reaching down and bringing up younger guys. Albert Almora is not going to take a lot of pitches. He's not going to draw hardly any walks. So, I mean, that's just not part of his game. And so I think when you lose guys that are really good at that and then you bring up younger, more impatient hitters, that's going to be a kind of a natural result, I think. But yeah, it was really good to see in those first two games the Cubs, like, aspects of the Cubs that we really enjoyed and it felt like we hadn't seen in quite a while. So it kind of, like, it definitely calmed my nerves, just like, okay, these guys haven't forgotten kind of what they were early on, and this team still has it in them to do those things. So
yeah, they look more rested for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Richard was the only guy coming out of the bullpen today, so the bullpen's going to be fresh going forward. Even though Lackey got touched up for 4 earned runs today, he still went 8 innings in this game. And so that, you know, I guess a silver lining in a tough loss, that they're going to be pretty fresh going into the Mets series.
Well, and I would, it would not, you know, we talked on the last episode or maybe the one before about, well, whether or not Joe Maddon will at some point start managing this team like they're in the playoffs, you know, like we saw them do, saw him do last year. I think it started with the Giants series and they swept him out there. You know, it would not surprise me at all to see Joe Maddon treat this Mets series like a playoff series. And then not necessarily maybe kind of keep that going the entire second half of the season, but maybe just isolated. You know, the Cubs were swept out in New York, and the Mets are a team that you know, took care of them in the playoffs last year, and the Cubs could, you know, very possibly face them again this year in the playoffs. And so it would not surprise me to see the Cubs really scratch and claw in this series, and Joe Maddon manage the team like it's a playoff.
Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to, did you, the game today, Lackey had a funny moment when he was pitching against Rougned Odor. Did you guys see this at bat on TV where Odor asked for time?
I didn't see it. And, no.
Okay. No. So he asked for time, and then right after he steps in, it looked like Lackey was going to go straight into sort of a quick pitch again. So he asked for time again, and was granted time like when Lackey was kind of in the middle of a windup. And then so he comes back ready to go again, and then Lackey waits forever. He's like, you're gonna call timeout on me twice when I'm trying to do trying to quick pitch you. Now I'm gonna wait forever. And then so he just stood there on the mound for like, I don't know, 5 seconds, and then Odor called timeout again. He came set again, he struck Odor out, which was awesome. I was kind of into that whole appearance. This is like a weird like standoff thing. I think time was called at least 3 or 4 times in that at bat.
Huh. Interesting.
But Lackey's just like, I don't know, he's hilarious. Because I don't know, he's just such a, I don't know, he just likes to mess with people and just like try to get whatever competitive edge he can. Type of guy. I don't know how to put it, but he's just wily or something.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times I think it's kind of fun to watch. You know, only if he's pitching for your team. If he was pitching for the Cardinals still, we would absolutely hate him. But obviously I was not thrilled when the Cubs brought Lackey over, but there are some aspects of Lackey that I don't really care for too much, but there's a lot that I've kind of grown to enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else you guys want to say about this series? I mean, we covered PCP, so I think we got it all.
I think we're all set. One thing I want to say, Corey, before we move on is Anthony Rizzo's numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like it's worth mentioning. We mention it every week probably, but his slash line right now is .294, .408 on base percentage, and .581 slugging. But his last 30 games, listen to this, .357 average, .444 on base percentage. Jeez. And .696 slugging.
Yeah, he's in his own.
He's on like a 12 game hitting streak, and then he had 8 hits in a row at one point.
And I think he had 5 games in a row with extra base hits.
Just several little streaks going, and then he Saturday he got that big double to drive in too, which proved to be the game winner. So he just seems clutch lately, locked in, however you want to put it. He has been huge for this team lately.
Yeah. While you're on the topic of the last 30 games, how about Javier Baez's slash line? 314.
What is it?
314. 366, 523. An OPS of 889. But I wouldn't. I mean, it's just. I don't know if I would have believed you at the beginning of the season if you would have told me that there was any stretch of any number of games in a row where Baez had an batting average of .314. And he's got 4 home runs in that stretch and a lot of strikeouts, of course. He's going to do that, but I just wanted to talk about Baez.
Yeah, and he is incredible to watch. We kind of give you a hard time for being, you know, in love with him, but he's just amazing to watch. That tag that he put on where he was like jumping in the air and then swung down and got the tag, like it's easy to miss it, but you know, you see it again and it's just wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. One thing I want to, I think we should talk about, the Cubs have had obviously several players injured here in the last month or two. Some have worked their way back and some are kind of starting to make their way back. So Andy, get us caught up with, how far we are from some of the Cubs being back at, the team being back at full strength.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I wanted to start off with Clayton Richard. As he pitched his first inning back from the DL today, and as I mentioned, he pitched a clean inning. He looked pretty good. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Jorge Soler has been, you know, a question mark for me and everybody else, I'm sure. As the Cubs site says, you know, he has an upcoming rehab assignment and possibly a late July return. However, listener Dawn was at the game today and she said she saw Soler running and that he was wincing and limping and did not look comfortable. So that doesn't sound promising at all on the Solaire front. So hopefully, you know, I don't know. It is a tricky muscle, you know, and so hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully we see him again, you know, this summer, but it's not sounding that great as far as Solaire is concerned. I think somebody else in the chat, maybe it was Ben, I think, said, you know, if you pay attention to who the Cubs are going after, you know, at the trade deadline, that might be kind of revealing of what they think of the extent of Solaire's injury as well. Joe Nathan joined Iowa from Tennessee, and he's pitched 1.1 innings, scoreless innings with Iowa now, and has yet to surrender a hit even with Iowa. In his time with Tennessee, he gave up 2 earned runs over 6.2 innings pitched. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he could be a piece that they'll be able to use at some point. Fowler last week had a rehab game with South Bend, but it's kind of strange that there was the All-Star break in there and then the Cubs pulled him back to be with the team or something like that. But he supposedly will go back out on rehab assignment this week. So look for him hopefully late July to be back. Just other minor stuff. Coughlin's on the 15-day DL with rib cage soreness. We all miss him quite a bit, right? And then Trevor Cahill is on the 15-day DL now with right knee patellar tendonitis. And it kind of seemed like something was wrong with him. His last two games, his last two appearances, he surrendered 4 earned runs and walked 4 in 3 innings of work. So something wasn't quite right with his knee. And so, yeah, he's hit the DL. And he's been pretty good for the Cubs this season. So hoping for speedy convalescence for Trevor Cahill.
David Ross is back. So I guess he was on the DL, but it was like what, concussion symptoms. So it was just the 7-day DL. So it didn't really seem like, I mean, for your backup catcher to miss 7 days, that's only a start or two. But it's good to have him back too. I don't know. Like, I think the obviously the biggest one is just to get Dexter Fowler back, and I don't think that like them taking their time with Solaire. I don't think it has like a huge impact on this team, especially considering how well Al Mora is playing in center field, and you know an outfield if they can work it out with Al Mora, Hayward, and Fowler. That is a really good defensive outfield, especially with how Fowler is playing in the field this year. So I don't really feel like, as much as I like Solaire, as much as I want to see him on the team and I want to see him in games, I don't think it's his absence is having a huge impact on the Cubs right now.
Yeah. The only thing, though, is I think Hayward or Al Mora has to kind of pick it up in the offense department a little bit. I mean, it's not like it's totally going to hurt them if those two guys still continue to scuffle a little bit, but Solaire brings a lot to the offense.
Yeah. I shouldn't say that you're not going to see more offense from Albert Almora, but I feel like what we're seeing is kind of what he is right now. And maybe at some point in his career, he can get to the point where he can maybe try to get on base by, you know, taking pitches and walking. It's not what he's done in the minor leagues, and it's not what he's doing right now. And so I think, you know, I'm looking, his batting average is .256 and his on base percentage is .284, and his on base percentage is never going to be that much higher, just because that's, a base hit is basically the only way he can get on base right now. And I don't think that he's not, especially as a rookie, he's not like a 280 or 290 hitter. It's just not what he is or who he is. I think he's a glove first outfielder. And so I think the Cubs just really need, and I think almost all Cubs fans would agree with this, it'd be nice to see Hayward really, I hate to say hitting the ball better, because it feels like he hits the ball fine. He just hits it right at guys.
Yeah, I hit a really unlucky one today that looked like it was going to be a bullet down the right field line, and it was fielded and then turned into a double play. It just seems like that happens to him so much.
Yeah.
I can barely stand it. But, I mean, they have so much offensive firepower otherwise. I mean, no matter what the outfield configuration is, it seems like they could be successful regardless.
Well, and don't forget the amount of versatility they have, where you could, if things go south, you could throw Zobrist in the outfield and have Javi play second, or you know, something like that, where if a guy's not performing offensively, you could kind of mix it up a little bit. I mean, you've seen Zobrist play almost all the time at second. He's got a couple starts lately out in the outfield, but that's on the table.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice, too, that Caesar's been such a weapon off the bench, or as a pinch hitter, too.
Hey, careful. That might be a good transition then into a scary stat.
Oh, you know, can I say something about Matt Caesar real quick?
As long as you don't drop any stats.
Nope, no stats. This is a Corey observation.
Oh, here comes a salad joke.
When I was sitting with Jason Nunn, and we were, you know, had those good seats down there right behind the Cubs dugout, I was shocked at how huge Matt Caesar's forearms are. I mean, don't you just think that, like, he is like a kind of a little scrawny guy, speedy guy? I could not believe how big his forearms
were. I've never thought of him as scrawny, maybe little.
Well, yeah, I guess he's not scrawny, but he doesn't seem like a muscle guy, you know?
Yeah.
And they were huge and like big, huge veins popping out and everything. And I was like, man, I wouldn't have expected that.
Just meaty.
Yeah.
Matt Caesar's forearms are the new Michael Brenly's thighs. Move over, Michael.
And you've been gone for a while, but Javi's wrists are number one. Michael Brenly's thighs were impressive, though. Those things were just.
You could construct a baseball player out of the body parts of the various Cubs. Which players would those body parts come from?
Well, we've got thighs, forearms, and wrists. We get to complete the rest.
We got Lackey's teeth.
Lackey's
teeth.
Can crunch a lot of carrots and apples with those.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to save us from this and go into the scary stat if I can.
Yeah, please do.
Because we talked about Matt Caesar. I kind of had been looking at Rizzo, and I think that was a really good one too, his numbers. But I also think it's good to kind of throw a little love to some of the bench guys once in a while. So let's talk about Matt Caesar. He's had 95 at-bats this year, and 29 have come as a pinch hitter. And as a pinch hitter, he's hitting .345 with 5 RBI. 3 of those came in the last couple on Friday and Saturday. With men on base, he's hitting .371. Contrast that with when the bases are empty, he's hitting .233. So basically, you got to have Matt up there when it's a pretty high leverage situation. But, you know, it's great to have him back. And he's pretty good defensively, but also the pinch hitter. He seems really good at sort of coming in cold and just jumping right in. And he's been really good at hitting like first and second pitches, you know, just jumping on a guy pretty early, and had hit a couple up the middle in the last couple games. So good job,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I like that, Kurt. You know, that's not, I wouldn't expect Matt Caesar to be the source of a scary stat of the week. So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, .345 as a pinch hitter. I think that's pretty darn good.
Yep. Internet muscle flexes. Andy, you said you have one.
Yeah.
Kurt, you said you don't, right?
I do not.
Okay, so I've got a few. So is yours pretty good, Andy?
Yeah, I like it quite a bit, okay. And it was actually found by Beth, my wife. So I just want to give her a shout out.
Okay. How about I'll do mine first? I have 4. I'll do them, and then you can finish this up.
All right.
So this was from Cubs Instagram. It was the picture with Albert Almora jumping into the wall, and I don't, you know, anytime there's a Cubs loss, there's going to be some good muscle flexes, like this one where this commenter says, "Offense just doesn't care today, I guess." Defense is playing all out. Offense just doesn't care.
Gonna have to bench offense.
Yeah. So here's somebody who's I actually clicked on their profile. So the profile's name is Cubs Hate. And
what?
Yeah. And so their logo, their user image is the Cubs C, and then in the middle it says rap, so it's crap. But in their bio, it says making Cubs fans mad since 6/26/16. So he's been up to it for about 3 weeks.
He's only 12. So.
You don't put the established in the year and until you've been around for at least 10, right? Right.
Or 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Here's a couple. I don't know. So somebody was like, I think some of this conversation had to do with Jason Hayward and people, you know, hating on Hayward. I like this one just because it's short, quick, and I found it to be kind of funny. It says exit velocity was 99 miles per hour. In case you didn't know, that's fast.
Although for a batted ball, is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not. It's fast.
We've seen a lot faster ones,
right? But it's that's a well hit ball.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to try to field it, but you know.
Right.
Okay. So my muscle flex is apparently Anthony Rizzo has been taking piano lessons. You guys, I mean, that's pretty well known. So country singer Brett Eldridge on his Instagram account posted a video of him singing along to Rizzo playing the piano. You know, it sounded like Rizzo was doing pretty well for a guy who hasn't played for very long. I mean, he's no Darwin Barney yet, of course. But I mean, it sounds like he's fairly competent.
Well, and he doesn't have a gold glove like Darwin Barney.
Right. but of course, commenters had a lot to say about Rizzo playing the piano. Here's the first one. And this was found by Beth, by the way. Beethoven better. That dumb.
Oh man.
All right, and there's more. Somebody else
at baseball. Beethoven better at baseball.
I love that. Just Beethoven better. Oh man.
Beethoven better. Another commenter said he needs to lay off that pedal just a touch. Oh,
so like there's people that can tell him like what he needs to fix with his swing, and there's people that can tell him to lay off that piano pedal.
Everything you do, even if it's not baseball related, is subject to critique and ridicule. And then finally, here's another commenter. So what? He could play the piano. A lot of other people can too. Nothing special.
Oh man.
Keep in mind, like, this isn't Rizzo posting himself playing. This is Brett Eldridge posting this video of Rizzo playing. So, but yeah, go ahead and send all your comments and your criticism his way.
Yeah, the jerk was probably like raising money for cancer or something.
You know, he should have been.
What an idiot!
Right, he should have been focusing on baseball. No. Oh man. Beethoven better.
Oh,
that's so good.
It's no right. Everett Golson, but you know.
Right, yeah. Golson can play the piano for sure.
I know. I was waiting for a Golson reference, but didn't come.
He ended up
training. You know, he's a traitor.
Right. So. He transferred to Florida State, so I can't speak highly of him. So that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have a new contributor, Pete from Brooklyn, New York. Thank you, Pete, for jumping on. Patreon is how we pay the podcasting bills. It's how we upgrade and replace equipment, which we've had to do here in the last few months. It also helps us with our live events. So if you like what we do here at IVMB, we would really appreciate your support. It helps make everyone's IVMB experience better. Everything we've gained through Patreon has gone right back into the podcast. And if you join the campaign, there's perks for you to receive. And I'll probably be sending out the next round of perks here after the tailgate and John Baker Day. So visit patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. Or go to IVMB.com and click on the Patreon link on the right side of the page. So if you're in the Quad Cities, come on out to see Katie Day. If you're listening to this on Monday, it's tonight. She's playing at Day Trotter in downtown Davenport. We will be back on Wednesday to talk about this series with the Mets. And until then, go Cubs. We're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne. Bottle excited.